dog.
Episode 60, Your Mother Ate My Dog, the podcast. My name is Josh. His name is Jesse.
Hello.
How are you, Jesse?
I'm doing quite well. Josh, how are you doing on this fine evening?
I'm good. Did you know that 60 is the natural number following 59 and preceding 61?
I did know that, actually. Did you know that?
Yes, being 3 times 20, it is called 3-score in older literature.
Oh. Now, isn't that fun?
Did you know that noted movie star Tom Cruise turned 60 last year?
I did not know that.
Did you know that the number of seconds in a minute is 60? And the number of minutes in an hour is 60?
And the number of hours in a day is 60.
I just wanted to mention that 60 is a big number, and we reached it.
We sure did. With no hiccups, no issues, positive vibes the whole way along. Couldn't be any happier for it.
It took like 16 months to do it, but that's fine. But I'm a cheerleader. Was the movie that you picked for some reason?
That is the movie I picked for some reason. And that is also how you have to say the title.
But I'm a cheerleader. Before we get into that, you watch anything in the past 7 days?
Have I watched anything in the last 7 days in terms of movies?
In terms of anything you wanted to share?
I haven't watched much of anything. I downloaded a movie called In the Heat of the Night, which was a movie I was going to pick for the podcast, but I ended up not watching it. Didn't have the time.
Oh, well, maybe episode 62.
That could be the one.
Or maybe episode 61. Maybe I'll pick it.
That would be good too.
I'm not going to. I've already picked my movie.
Oh,
okay, and well. I think you'll like it. Either you'll like it or you've already seen it. So, do I have a backup? Maybe.
Well, I mean, I've picked movies you've seen, so.
True. I watched a movie 2 weeks ago. Last week on the podcast, I was like, whoa, did I watch a movie? I can't remember the name of it. But then after the podcast, I was like, what movie did we watch? And then I got the answer. It was a movie called Fighting With My Family with The Rock, about a girl who, from England, goes all the way to America and makes it in wrestling.
Oh. Is that an older film? Or?
It came out in... like this decade.
Oh, okay.
Right on time. Florence Pugh, who you may remember from that movie we watched with Harry Styles.
Right.
Whatever it was called. She started it, and you know, she's great.
I've only ever seen her in the one movie, which I totally remember the name of. And yeah, she was decent in that.
The movie that she was in was Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, that's the one. And you know it's good because we remembered the title of it.
Well, we record these podcasts at such a time where sometimes my brain doesn't work.
It is late in the night and it's just, the brain's not going at 100%. Let's put it that way. Maybe we've had a few drinks. Who's to say?
I'm just finishing my lime and watermelon sparkling water beverage.
See, getting litty.
So this time next week I'll be in America, and I look very much forward to trying all the cuisines, all the fast food places, all the sparkling waters that we don't get here. The thing I'm most excited for is just going into a grocery store and just seeing all the different colors.
The colors, the different snacks. They got so many more things than we do.
How many different Pop-Tart flavors do you think they have? A lot?
It's a lot. There was a whole GMM episode Good Mythical Morning, where they ate every Pop-Tart flavor. And it was a lot.
S'more is my favorite, but maybe there's other ones. Well, because, I mean, we have three different kinds here in Canada. Many of our listeners are actually from America, so they would know, but not us.
Yeah, we get chocolate, strawberry, and s'mores.
Sometimes berry. Very rarely do I see a berry anymore, but...
You know what I had the other day for the first time? And by the other day, I want to say maybe 3 months ago. I had toaster strudels.
And how was that?
Now those were good. Definitely better than Pop-Tarts.
Well, do you heat up your Pop-Tarts?
I heat up my Pop-Tarts, I would say, about 15% of the time.
I don't think it's better to do that. But with toaster strudel, you have to. You have to because they come frozen.
They sure do. They sure do. And they come with a delicious frosting. And you heat it up and it just becomes the perfect temperature and the perfect consistency. It's just a dream. I'm all about it.
So you're in Samoa. Big race going down August 10th to 17th on the island of Samoa. Mm-hmm. Are you excited to try any of their foods, any of their Pop-Tarts?
I don't know if they have a whole... I'm sure they have foods that are specific to them. Like when I say that, I mean like packaged foods. But I know they have their own beer. They have there's a Samoan brand beer. I'll definitely be trying that, but I haven't looked into what kind of snacks they got going there in Samoa.
They loved corned beef, apparently.
Corned beef. Well, if there's a Samoan corned beef, I'll be trying it.
Hopefully in Pop-Tart form.
That's my favorite form of corned beef.
Okay, well, speaking of corned beef, we might as well just jump right into this movie that you picked and we watched.
Speaking of corned beef. Yeah, you're right. Let's jump into the movie.
You watched this today, I assume?
I sure did.
I watched this on Saturday because it's rare that we get a movie where everybody in the house wants to watch it.
Right.
Because I pick movies for us, not for her. But she wanted to watch it, so we watched But I'm a Cheerleader on Saturday. And it was quite an interesting one.
Sure was. Very, very campy and very unique, I would say. I've never seen a movie like it. Did you find... Well, I'd love to hear what your partner thought of the film.
The what?
What your partner thought of the film.
Well, we love the gays, so it went over well.
Right. We are also a fan of the gays in this household. So a similar experience was had.
I can only assume that this is a cult classic film, even though I had never heard of it before.
I will say when I rented it from Pick-A-Flick today, he said it was definitely a cult classic. So if he says so, it has to be.
Look at the cover.
Yeah, that's just, it screams cult classic. Do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Almost religiously, yep.
Oh, okay. So what? How was it seeing you, seeing RuPaul in a way you perhaps don't see him too often?
It was great. It was pretty good. Pretty good. He has not aged. He looks basically the same.
Right.
And this movie came out in 1999.
Yeah, it's like 25 years later. I haven't watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I maybe have seen a few clips, but I've definitely not watched the show. I assume it's a show I would enjoy.
It's a competition show.
Yeah. I just don't watch TV or any shows really, so it doesn't really work for me, but I'm sure I would like it. Does he take on this persona often, or is he sort of in full-blown drag mode throughout the whole show?
So there's two parts to it. Basically, the first part is like the beginning of the challenge. So like he comes out and he explains what they're doing this week, but he comes out not in drag.
Okay.
So he comes out looking like Mike.
Uh-huh.
No goatee though. Sometimes he wears short shorts. Sometimes he doesn't wear short shorts. Mostly not wearing short shorts. And then the second part of the show is the runway, and he comes out in full drag for that.
Okay.
No goatee. But I will say, the main character, Natasha Lyonne, her name Megan, so that went over well in the household. Yes.
Right.
Also, not to get ahead of ourselves, but while watching this, I couldn't help but be blown away with the amount of stuff that they were getting away with in 1999. Mm. Like, how did this... They took a chance, because I don't think the world in 1999 certainly wasn't as accepting of like this kind of, you know.
Right. The late 90s were a different time.
But they just did it.
I'm not sure. I can't remember what it was. Like, I know back in that time, there was like a lot of gay jokes. Like people poking fun at gay people and stuff, which is not as common now, obviously. But I don't know how, I don't think I was like really socially conscious in 1999 to really understand like the societal acceptance of people who were gay at that time. So I don't really know. I think it was like,
it was still pretty taboo at that time.
That makes sense. I had seen, I've seen a movie called Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Have you seen that movie?
No.
That came out in 94, which is like even more gay than this movie, I would say. Well, I could definitely say it is. And but that was like, I think that's an Australian film, if I'm not mistaken. It's got Hugo Weaving, most notably. And it's not quite the same movie as this, but yeah, that came out 5 years earlier. So I'm not sure how that was taken. I guess when I think of like film depicting homosexuality, I think of the movie Philadelphia, which came out in 89, I think. Let me just double check that.
I think it was like early 90s.
Let me check.
92, okay, I want to say.
92. That sounds pretty, and I think it might be, if anything, it's going to be 91 or 93, I think.
94, maybe?
93.
90, okay.
And why that's sticking in my mind is because when Tom Hanks is accepting his Oscar for his performance in that movie, he is, when he's like giving his acceptance speech, he's talking about like how brave it was for certain people to be acting in this film, Denzel Washington most notably. And he was also saying like, oh, I'm really proud to have had two gay role models growing up. And I'm like, I really hope that my kids growing up have role models like that. And he was, the way he was saying it, it was like, oh, that's so brave of him to be saying that. And so that was like 93. So I don't sure this wasn't too much further along from that. So I think maybe that was around in film when that was starting to become more of a thing. More, right. More like delving into the theme a bit more, the topic, I guess you should say.
Well, but it was anyway. it was quite the journey.
It was. I quite enjoyed it myself. It was, certainly wasn't holding anything back, but it was also, it towed the line between like taking itself seriously when it needed to, but also like poking fun at, homophobia, I would say, but also just like homosexuality as well, poking fun of it at itself. At some points, which was
and
all
you like. You liked that?
Well, it was all in good fun, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I found it decently funny.
Yeah, it was funny. It, like, I think it's supposed to be a com. Yeah, it's definitely supposed to be a comedy. I don't know how much of, probably if you were to look it up, it would say a comedy drama.
Satirical teen romantic comedy film.
Okay. So yeah, there was serious dramatic moments, but I would say mostly a comedy. But it did both pretty well, I thought.
The movie was inspired by an article about conversion therapy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know like how prevalent that is now, but the whole like conversion thing. Probably much more prevalent back then than it is now, but I think it's still a thing.
Maybe in like churches, I don't think it probably happens too often.
Or in probably less progressive countries as well. I'm sure it's a much more common.
Yeah. Okay. How did you like the acting?
Well, it was a movie that was intentionally being campy, right? So
yeah, very over the top.
Yeah, super over the top. So you have to take that into account when you think of acting. If they were, I mean, it can be done poorly, but I don't think it was here. I thought it was pretty well acted overall. I thought maybe some of the actors didn't do the camp too well. I thought the woman who was running the whole, I can't remember what the name of the school is.
Oh, it's True Direction? True Directions.
Yeah, I thought the leader of True Directions perhaps wasn't, she was okay. But she wasn't in it that much, so. Like, she's been in more serious movies and, like, nominated for Oscars and stuff. She was in, like, Raging Bull. So I don't know if the other actors in this film had really done serious roles before this one, so maybe she was sort of taking her acting pride into this one and trying to take it a bit more serious. Maybe it didn't work.
For a movie that, you know, doesn't really get talked about too much, at least I've never heard of it before, so I assume it's not talked about at all. It has some like young actors who have done well for themselves, you know, 20 years later.
Yeah.
So I've seen Natasha Lyonne. She plays their cheerleader, Megan, but the only roles that I've seen her in are like hard-nosed women roles. Like she was in Orange is the New Black, which is about, you know, a woman's prison.
Yeah.
Russian Doll, others. Oh, she's American Pie as well. But like, she doesn't play nobody would describe her as like a cheerleader in any of those movies. Obviously, Melanie Lynskey, we all love her from Yellow Jackets. Just had its season 2 finale. You should watch it. Good show. And then like Michelle Williams is in this briefly.
Yeah.
Her from the Brokeback Mountain. Also other stuff.
Shutter Island too, I think.
There's a second Shutter Island?
Shutter Island also.
Interesting. And then obviously Clea DuVall, which we just watched her in. The Faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Both kind Clea DuVall and Natasha Lyonne were guest judges on RuPaul Drag Race. So.
Oh, that's a fun piece of trivia. Yeah, DuVall like kind of playing the same character here as she did in The Faculty, or like almost the same.
She didn't come out as a lesbian until 2016.
Yeah, I was reading about that. I thought that was interesting. But apparently, I think I read something that she was like very closeted at this time. Something like that.
Yeah, she was definitely a lesbian, but she didn't make that known
right
until much later. Now she's happily married. I feel she wrote and directed something that we watched. Not us, but me.
So when you said we, you meant you?
Yeah, let's see. Something like important.
Really?
Something that you're like, oh my goodness, crazy. That's, you know. Oh, okay, never mind. It wouldn't make any sense. There was a movie. So here's some backstory. We're going to America.
Yes.
We're going to Forks, Washington, which is the home of the Twilight saga.
Is that why you're going there?
Well, it's really close to Port Angeles.
Okay. So yes.
Kristen Stewart stars in Twilight. Kristen Stewart was in a movie, a Christmas movie called Happy Season, which we watched, not you and me, but I've watched, which was written and directed by Clea DuVall. It is about lesbians. So
it all comes full circle.
Yeah, all comes full circle. That's for sure. Yeah, so acting was fine. I mean, with a movie like this, like, you can't really put too much into acting. Like, the acting wasn't so bad that it ruined the movie. The mm-hmm. acting was never going to be, like, Oscar worthy, but it added, I thought, to the movie, which is, so the acting score might be higher than it should normally be.
Right. Yeah, I think it's, in a movie like this, the acting, like, it might be good or bad, but if the movie is funny enough, it doesn't matter either way.
Right, that's like our whole podcast that was, you know, talking about the acting.
Yeah.
So. Okay, yeah, acting good. I wouldn't say the ending was very good, but that's a little ahead of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little too tidy, you know, a little too, oh. So the movie is called But I'm a Cheerleader, but they don't really, like, that's not really the story. Nothing to do with but her cheerleading at all. But then at the end, she just is a cheerleader again, and she wins the girl.
Yeah. A bit of a lazy ending, I would say.
Yeah, lazy's good.
Lazy's good?
Lazy's a good thing to say, for sure. To describe
lazy
it.
Is accurate.
RuPaul also does music. There was a RuPaul song in this movie.
I sure was. I liked the music in this movie. Especially the first song. Which was in Death Proof also. I can't remember the name of the song, but it was like... Anyway, it's very catchy.
Arsenio Hall was supposed to play the character of Mike. Well, the director wanted Arsenio Hall for Mike, but Hall was uncomfortable playing a gay role.
Well then.
But I mean, to be fair, Mike played a gay man who was pretending to be straight. So all he had to do was pretend to be straight.
Yeah, that shouldn't have been too hard.
Okay, well, what else? It's not a lot to talk about in movies such as this.
How did you think the movie looked? Like, how did you like the aesthetic of the film?
I mean, for the most part, it was in a, like, some sort of conversion therapy hall, border school. So, like, it was whatever. Mm-hmm. But then they left. You know, they went to a nightclub, a local gay bar. I mean, it was filmed perfectly okay.
Yeah, I thought so. I liked how, like, ham-handed it was with, like, all the girl stuff is, like, all very pink. And all the boy stuff is all very blue.
Right.
And the good old cocksucker bar.
Ooh, we can't say that.
No, oh, we can't say that.
we have to explicit. Now it's our, it's okay.
The wiener vacuum.
Yeah, this movie was only filmed with $1 million budget.
That makes sense. I mean, there wasn't. I can't really think of what would need a big budget for this one. And if you get if you hire a whole slew of fairly unknown actors at the time, that'll keep the budget way down.
For sure. Yeah. Good.
Good. Very good.
Do you think there'll be a sequel?
24 years later? Maybe. The lady who played Mary Brown, like the head woman of this school, she said the words Raging Bull. That was one of her lines. I thought that must have been a purposeful inclusion because she was in Raging Bull. Maybe not.
No, it was probably definitely on purpose. A little winky poo. Initial mainstream critical response to But I'm a Cheerleader was mostly negative.
Why is that?
The movie was too broad to make any real statements. Wasn't very sharp. Had a nice cast, but was just kind of a light social satire and nothing more.
Right.
Just a shallow movie. But reviews from game media were positive. And the film has undergone a critical reassessment over time. There's a website called afterellen.com, perhaps named after Ellen DeGeneres, a noted lesbian. And it was named one of the 5 best lesbian movies ever made.
Oh.
There can't be that many lesbian movies. But Clea DuVall is probably in all of them.
Must be.
All right. Well, do you have any other notes before we, do what we do?
Doing that thing you do. No, I can't really. Have you seen that movie? That Thing You Do?
Nope.
It's got Tom Hanks in it. Doing that thing you do.
You brought up Tom Hanks earlier. And he was in Philadelphia, a movie about a man with a disease.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also in a movie, or no, I guess it was a TV show about two cross-dressing dudes called The Bosom Buddies.
The Bosom Buddies?
Never heard of The Bosom Buddies?
I've never heard of The Bosom Buddies.
Is that not what it's called? The Bosom. Yeah, The Bosom Buddies. Well, it's an American sitcom. Tom Hanks. The show features the misadventures of 2 single men working in creative advertising, struggling in their industry while disguising themselves as women in order to live in the one apartment they could afford.
When was that a thing?
1980 to 1982.
2 years on air. It's not so bad.
Yeah. So Tom Hanks and a man named Peter Scolari, who was in some stuff. He was also in Polar Express. But Peter Scolari unfortunately died of leukemia in 2021.
Does it feel like to you every episode we do, we eventually talk about somebody who's just died? Or perhaps has died in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like my favorite thing to do. So,
right, you're a big dead person guy.
I like to know people who are alive and if they're dead or not.
Okay, how about Evander? Yep. Evander Holyfield? You think he's alive or dead?
I think he's alive.
I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure he is.
I would definitely know if Evander Holyfield was dead.
You know what else is dead? The Celtics playoff season.
Oh, interesting basketball reference. I was kind of hoping that they would, finish the comeback, but
No, boo. What?
it's nice that it's why you don't like Boston. Why?
No.
All right. Well, I don't care about basketball enough to have an opinion.
I don't really care that much about basketball either, to be honest.
Before we get into scores, I'm going to tell you what ChatGPT gave the movie.
Okay. I'd love to know.
8 out of 10.
That's all this all that's all ChatGPT does. It gives 7 or 8s.
There was a 7.5 once.
Okay, 7.5. Between 7 and 8.
They gave The Foreigner 7.5. They gave The Faculty a 7.
Yeah.
So this is like the best score. The film's visual style is vibrant and colorful, much like you were saying. Sharp and funny dialogue. The film balances humor with moments of heartfelt emotion. Exaggerated and caricatured. Yeah, okay. All right. We are going to do scores now, which means acting is first. Normally, we used to do other stuff with our scores, but we've condensed it. And now acting is first. If you could give this movie, But I'm a Cheerleader, episode 60 of Your Mother Ate My Dog, the podcast, an acting score to 10, what would you give it?
I thought the younger actors did quite a good job. All quite funny. Pretty well acted. Like I said, the lady who played Mary Brown wasn't a huge fan. I really liked RuPaul. And I think, yeah, most of them did a good job with the whole campy atmosphere that they were going for. Like acting, I'd give a 7 out of 10. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, pretty solid. I liked Kathy Moriarty's Murray Brown. She was a pretty good foil to Megan, the Natasha Lyonne character, and the other students, or whatever you'd call them, of the True Directions. I mean, they graduated, so I guess students, but she could have been a little more over the top, sure. I thought many of the performances were funny, some rare laugh out loud moments, mostly to do with RuPaul as Mike and Mary's son, Rock. But they were funny together. I think for acting, I did actually write it down. At the time, let's just remember when I gave it. Pretty good, I think. Pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. I'll give acting a 6.5 out of 10.
6.5 out of 10. Okay. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Pretty close.
Thanks. I'll do ending because I like to
Okay.
hear myself talk.
You sure do. Hit me with it.
Ending wasn't as strong. It was an easy ending. This movie, I guess, is not. It was never going to be like a crazy ending where, like, it worked and then she was straight again. Like, it was
Right.
always going to be. They were always going to tie it together in a positive, a lesbian positive way.
Lesbian positive way. Yep.
And they did it. Obviously, she was true to herself and she. As her true self is a lesbian woman,
She a gay. Yep.
Natasha Lyonne. So I didn't have a problem with that, but just the kind of the way they did it. They could have done something better, maybe. Maybe they just ran out of time and money. But I give it a 6 out of 10 for ending.
Okay. Yeah, it was a bit of like a I could see the ending coming. Wasn't all that inspired. And yeah, it was just kind of like, here's the happy ending. It's not like I hated the ending or anything. It also felt like a little bit rushed as well. Like, what's the character's name? I think, yeah, Graham hops on the truck and then boom, ending. And I even went like, oh,
because like, oh, okay, there's the ending. It seems a little bit quick and rushed. Yeah, I think you're kind of right in the ballpark there for me as well. A 6 out of 10 for ending. It's like fine, but not that spectacular.
This movie was 85 minutes long. They had time to work.
Mm-hmm. Although the movie went by very quickly, I found.
I think comedies normally do.
Yeah.
Because it's just like light. A rare comedy on the podcast.
That's what I was thinking when I picked it as well.
Mostly Jesse picks for comedies. Well, I guess the last comedy that we watched was Waterworld. Okay, so I'll let you go first for score out of 10.
Okay.
Very interested to see where you're going.
I thought it was a nice, lighthearted, funny movie with interesting themes. It's genuinely quite funny. I'd recommend it to people to watch. It was a very different and unique. I liked that about it quite a bit. Obviously, not a perfect movie, but pretty solid overall. 7 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, it was a funny movie. I liked the subject matter. I'm happy that they went this direction in 1999. That was a bold move. Ending was whatever. Acting was good for what it was. It was fun to watch. Thank you, Jesse, for that.
You're welcome.
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Okay. That's fair.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I love how much you thank me in the podcast. It's very nice.
Well, thank you so much, Jesse, for acknowledging that.
You're very welcome.
Being on the podcast. That was But I'm a Cheerleader, 1999. It wasn't on anything. It was kind of like it was a movie that didn't seem like a real movie. But was you it had the on physical thing. Well, like to watch it.
Oh, I heard it was on Crave. I may have been misinformed, but that's what I heard.
No, I think it was on Stars.
Okay.
It could have been on Crave. I don't know if I checked. But maybe I watched it on, because I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No, it does not.
But yeah, good movie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Movie for next, well, that won't be next week. We are taking a 1 week off because of me. I'm not going to be around. I'm certainly not going to be watching a movie and talking about it on next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, I'm going to tell you exactly where I'm going to be. Next Wednesday, I'm going to be in Roseburg, Oregon. We're camping Tuesday night. Waking up, taking the 3-hour drive to Roseburg from our campsite. We're staying in an Airbnb on a vineyard. And celebrating our little anniversary on Wednesday. So
there's actually no podcast. A little town right near there that I really like. It's called Deez. Have you ever heard of it?
I'm not playing this game with you. Deez, so we're going to be talking about him. Yeah. Nice try. So the movie that we're going to watch in 2 weeks, do you have any guesses?
Well, based off absolutely nothing, my guess would have to be, just give me the genre and I'll guess it. No problem.
It's a neo-noir crime film.
Neo-noir crime film. Sin City.
Not Sin City. It's a Coen Brothers movie from 2001. James Gandolfini's in it. Scarlett Johansson. Tony Shalhoub. And then, of course, Billy Bob Thornton and Frances McDormand star The Man Who Wasn't There, 2001 film.
I haven't seen it.
Great. The film is set in 1949, and it's in black and white, I believe. It's in black and white and employs voice-over narration, honoring classic film noir.
Oh. I haven't even heard of this movie. I like the Coen brothers.
Apparently not enough.
Well, I guess so.
I wonder if James Gandolfini's in it, so John Goodman probably isn't.
What? Why?
Because James Gandolfini and John Goodman are like similar built people.
I thought like maybe they didn't like each other or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's what I just thought you were insinuating. I like that Monk is in this movie. I like me a good Monk.
Tony Shalhoub.
Mm-hmm. Does he get his head shot off and then it grows back?
Is that Men in Black 1 or 2?
Both. Do you have any idea how much that stings? Okay, anyway.
We like a good Frances McDormand, a good Billy Bob Thornton.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Michael Badalucco is in it. He was in Leon the Professional, apparently.
Oh, I like that guy. Yep.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
I see the name Michael Badalucco, and you know who it is?
Yeah, I know Michael Badalucco.
I need to see him. Oh. It's not who I would have thought.
Many Coen Brothers movies have you seen?
Okay, well, let me get a list.
I'm gonna quickly look at the list and see how many I've seen. As it currently stands, at a quick glance, it's a lot. Okay, let's see.
Oh, I haven't seen many of them.
I myself have seen nine.
Nine, okay. I've seen Barton Fink, 1. I've seen Fargo, 2. Big Lebowski, 3. No Country for Old Men, 4. Burn After Reading, 5. True Grit, 6. And that's it. 6. Soon to be 7. But I haven't seen Her Brother We're Out Thou. I haven't seen Intolerable Cruelty. I haven't seen Raising Arizona.
That's a good one. You know, I almost picked The Lady Killers for the podcast once.
Well, it stars Tom Hanks, who has been the star of this movie, even though he was not in the movie.
I don't think Tom Hanks has been in any of the movies we watched for the podcast, has he?
No, but we talk about him so much today.
Yeah, I know that. I know that's what you meant. We watched Barton Fink together.
Did we?
We sure did.
Are you sure?
I am 100% sure.
I was going to pick this new Super Mario Brothers movie, but it's not on anything yet. And they probably don't have it at the Pick a Flick.
I wouldn't imagine if it's not on anything yet.
Well, maybe they have the DVD version. Because I thought it was like a Disney movie, so it would be on Disney Plus, but it's not a Disney movie because it's Super Mario Brothers. The Man Who Wasn't There. All right. Well, I think we should finish with a little box office game. What do you think?
Let's do it. We got to get hit that 55-minute mark somehow.
Exactly. So this is the weekend of January 6th, 2006. My birthday weekend, I turned 15. What was I doing as a 15-year-old? Not driving. Nope. Was it like grade 9 or something? Grade 10? Maybe grade 10? I graduated in 2009. So probably grade 9? Wow. Simple, simple times, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There are maybe 2 slam dunks on here. The rest will be more difficult, I think.
Okay.
So we're going to start with a 20th Century Fox movie. So this is Winter 2006. Mm. Made $66 million in a three-week period. Steve Martin. First actor, Steve Martin.
2006?
Yep.
Is this Cheaper by the Dozen?
Ooh. It's not where I was going. Cheaper by the Dozen 1 or 2, you think?
It would have to be 2, I think.
I guessed 1. It was not 1. Cheaper by the Dozen 2. It's Cheaper by the Dozen 2. Good job.
Oh, nice.
Wow. That was one. That was probably the second hardest one.
I'm proud of myself for that one.
All right. So we're going to go Sony Pictures. This is also the third week, but it's made $81 million. Sony Pictures 2006, mm-hmm. starring Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, 2006.
Now, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind comes to my mind, but I don't think it would have done that well in theaters.
Is it? What's the genre?
It's a comedy. Oh, okay. Okay. I think I'm getting what they're throwing down here.
What do you think it is?
I can't remember the name of it now. Oh, you know, the one with the Ark. Morgan Freeman.
You think it's Bruce Almighty?
Bruce Almighty. Yeah. That was where I went. Bruce Almighty. But
2006. Okay. Try Bruce Almighty. That feels like 2004 to me.
It's not Bruce Almighty.
What about Yes Man?
Oh, I feel like Yes Man might have been later, but what do I know? It's not Yes Man.
Okay. Sony. Okay, I bet you if you give us the second actor, it'll be a breeze.
Tia Leone. Okay. Tia Leone. Leone? I've seen this movie. I can picture it. It's not... It's not Yes Man, but it's like, I've seen it. It's similar to that, though.
It's similar to Yes Man?
Yeah.
And it came out in 2006.
Alec Baldwin is the third actor. Not that that matters.
Baldwin.
Yeah, he's probably the bad guy.
Okay, give us the tagline.
Giving big businesses a run for their money. I'm going to know it when it is revealed to us, but
is it
the name's not coming to me.
Is it Fun with Dick and Jane?
Yes, it's Fun with Dick and Jane. I think I saw this in theaters, which is crazy because we're doing a game about theaters.
It's a Jim Carrey movie I have not seen.
Fun with Dick and Jane. I don't remember it being very good, but it did make over $200 million.
I could have gotten none of the other clues helped me except Jim Carrey. I just finally, something unlocked in my brain. Fun with Dick and Jane.
She's Jane, Tia Leone. Tia Leone, in one of the first Nicolas Cage movies that I watched, The Family Man, she played the wife.
Oh, that's Tia Leone. Okay.
All right, so the hardest one, I think, is this one. It's a Lionsgate movie.
Okay.
Made almost $20 million in the first week.
Okay.
So it just came out.
Okay.
Jay Hernandez, the first actor. It's a horror movie.
Jay Hernandez? Okay.
I'm going to take a chance here.
Okay, take a chance.
And I'm going to guess Hostel. It's Hostel.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Do you know who that actor is, or you just took a swing because it's 2006?
It was a horror movie. I know who Jay Hernandez is. Like, I can see his face. I don't know if he's been in anything else.
Okay.
But... very strongly about that.
Nice.
Have you seen The Hostels?
No, I have not.
Yeah, it might be a pass.
Okay.
The fourth one is a Universal film.
Mm-hmm.
It's made almost $200 million in 4 weeks.
Okay.
The genre is adventure, drama, action. And it stars one of our favorite actors on the podcast, Naomi Watts. Adventure.
Naomi Watts.
$200 million.
Can you remind me who Naomi Watts is?
Mulholland Drive.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Second actor, another favorite on the podcast, Jack Black.
Jack Black and Naomi Watts?
A 2006 film, Jack Black, Naomi Watts. Gwyneth Paltrow was in Shallow Hal, not Naomi Watts.
I can't think. What?
It's not animated.
2006 with Jack Black. Orange County? No, that wouldn't have made that much money.
And she wouldn't have been number one. Third actor is Adrian Brody. Not really a friend of the podcast, but is in The Artist, which we've talked about.
Adrian Brody. Oh, I got it. King Kong.
Oh, yes. Now, I'm going to watch number one for King Kong. Huh? The eighth wonder of the world, King Kong.
We might go 5 for 5, Josh.
Last one is this is the easiest one. It's a Disney movie.
Okay.
It's made $250 million in 5 weeks.
Okay.
Do you have any guesses? Actually, you know what? The genre is also adventure, family, fantasy, it's not an animated Disney movie.
I think for Disney movies, well, if it's animated, then we don't go the actor route. But since it's not, we can go the actor route, but we could also go the tagline. That might be the most helpful.
Evil has reigned for 100 years. Is the tagline?
Evil has reigned for 100 years.
The third actor is William Moseley. Who? No idea.
Oh, boy.
Second actor is Skander Keynes.
Oh, boy.
First actor is Georgie Henley.
Okay, so a bunch of nobodies.
Evil has reigned for 100 years, but this film has made $250 million, so it's a film we've heard of before.
It's not animated.
The genre is adventure, family, fantasy.
Adventure, family, fantasy. 2006 Disney movie. Starring three people I've never heard of. They're all men, by the sounds of it.
Who knows about Skandar? Oh, okay. Well, the plot... gave it away.
Okay. Well, what's the plot?
Four siblings step through a magical wardrobe and find the land of Narnia. Oh,
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Isn't it just Chronicles of Narnia?
Yeah. Sorry. The Chronicles of Narnia. Yes.
This is also a movie I saw in theaters. So it was a big 2005, end of 2005, early 2006, big movie for Josh.
What percentile did we get in?
53rd.
That's not so bad. That's probably our best we've done.
We're better than the half. Yeah, the highest score so far. Our second win. Our second, I guess, 5 for 5.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. So for some reason, Hostels. The best movie, followed by The Chronicles of Narnia. It's made $250 million. King Kong, Fun with Dick and Jane, and Cheaper by the Dozen 2. Maybe I saw Cheaper by the Dozen 2 in theaters too. Cheaper by the Dozen 2 was a movie I've watched fairly recently.
I've seen the first, not the second.
Second one, Eugene Levy.
Oh, now we're talking.
He plays, you know, the other dad. Anyways, good job. And guess what time it is?
55 minute time.
Just insane how this works every time. But we got to give the people what they want. That's, you know, us talking.
Yep.
Oh, you've already left. Okay. Do you hear my cat? Is that why you're bringing your cat?
Well, I thought I could hear your cat screaming in the background. I thought I'd give a nice soft cat in my foreground.
Which I feel like. Yeah, this one's just like, hey, it's time. It's end of the podcast. 55 minutes.
Feed me, please.
Oh, that reminds me. Do you want to take care of my cats while we're gone?
Do I want to take care of your cats while you're gone?
Yeah.
Not really. Do I have to?
Oh, yikes. Kind of counting on you here.
Well, this is really feels like out of left field here.
Didn't you say that you'd do anything for me?
Well, anything that doesn't require too much physical effort.
You have to come to my house, Langford. Only 7 days in a row.
Okay, only 7 days in a row. Okay.
You get to pet some cats.
Ooh, how nice.
It's fine. Whatever.
I'm sure you already have it all planned out, and this is just...
You would think. This close to leaving, you'd think we'd have a plan. Okay, well, that's the end of the podcast, but I'm a cheerleader, I think was what it was called. We watched it. We liked it. It's kind of rare. Well, it's not rare, really, that we think the same of a movie, but you know, we're on the same page today. Excited to watch this movie. Man with the Iron Fist. No, that's not what it's called. The Man Who Wasn't There. It's on something.
Or maybe. Well, that would be convenient.
It's not. It doesn't look like it's on anything. Okay. So I'll have to take a trip to our, you know, for one of the last times, take a trip down to the movie store and ask the guy. Kevin is his name?
Yeah, before it comes under our ownership.
Yeah, I should start tagging him in this. He can, like, retweet us. He probably doesn't have any of this. He seems like an old man who's behind the times, but... The Man Who Wasn't There, not next week, but the week after. I don't want to do the math. The 14th or something? Perfect. So watch out for that. Thanks. Thank you all for listening. Even just
much, everyone.
Taking 3 seconds of your day to see our Instagram post and be like, I don't want to listen to this, and then move past it. We appreciate it. Hit that like button. Tell a friend.
Tell your sleep deprived friend about our podcast, and this will help him.
Tell your coworker that you don't like that much. But he's always talking about movies.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Spread the word.
Thanks.
Get toodles.
Oh. Okay, bye.